Without a ball, it's just a court. And without your spirit, it's only a game. So, together with the fans, we bring our best. For your next pregame, let's share a twist on a classic, the Hennessy Margarita. A squeeze of fresh lime juice and a bit of agave syrup, topped off with ice and a salted rim. Mix it, shake it, pour it, and enjoy the spirit of the NBA. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So first off, man, freestyle flow, here I go.
No, you have your freestyle corporate flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, I dabble. I freestyle, man. Ain't no thing to me.
Four bars.
Driving in foreign cars. You already know who I are. You already know who I'm is. I'm about that biz. Get my cheese like Wiz.
Just something light.
Okay, that's hard.
Something light.
Point. Forward.
This is Andre Iguodala.
This is Evan Turner.
We're trying to get to the true essence of not just basketball, but life, and that means something.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory. That
level of understanding. So Caitlin Clark declaring for the WNBA draft has resulted in the rise of prices in the WNBA with their tickets. Besides Taylor Swift, we know how much y'all love Taylor Swift. Caitlin Clark has been one of the hottest names in sports in 2024. Her year has been nothing short of spectacular. She's broken the NCAA all-time scoring record, along with announcing that she will be declaring for the 2024 WNBA draft, which has sent waves through the sports world. Ticket prices are already rising, and the good folks at Indy are already getting her throne ready. With this much attention and money floating around so soon, it's eerily similar to the arrival of rookies like Patrick Ewing and Pistol Pete Maravich as the way they were able to pace the way in groundbreaking deals that matches their popularity. So we want to break down how the Caitlin Clark economy is moving at the moment. Indiana is catching Caitlin Clark fever as they likely number one overall pick. Since Caitlin has declared for the WNBA draft, the average ticket price to see the Fever in action next season has more than doubled from last season, jumping from $60 to $140. Wow.
What do you think of that? How do you think that'll be taken? Pause. Like, we talked about, like, obviously compared her to the Patrick Ewing and all those type of situations, mm-hmm. but is it kind of risky to really move up, you know, the price of, I'll equate it to some New Balances. Remember New Balances used to be like the little $70 holler? And now we went to the store, I'm like, damn, I bought three, I'm paying $200 for some New Balances. Do you think the world is ready to really take that crazy jump? Is Caitlin Clark, you know, obviously, and I think it'll be the first real step because when we compare to Pistol Pete, one thing I want to have a conversation about is like, could she be the first $1 million player on court? Where you discuss the salary, you discuss like the popularity, and if she's able to affect it this way, we talk about Caitlin Clark and we talk about Juju Watkins coming 3 or 4 years later. Could this be like the first real couple steps for a player to rearrange the game, especially from a salary standpoint? You look at Patrick Ewing back in 1985, David Falk negotiated the biggest rookie deal ever. And that was based off how crazy the pre-order ticket sales went in New York and the popularity she's going to bring with her. She's got Gatorade. She has Nike. She has State Farm. She has some of like the top endorsers, and she's going to be on TV regardless. And I think like when you break down the economy of it, people are traveling from thousands and thousands of miles away to watch her play. Is there any correlation in being able to her kick down the door and keep raising the value of an athlete similar to that of, like I said, Pat Ewing or Pistol Pete?
I think it's perfect timing and location. And, you know, just coming from All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana is a huge basketball market. You know, would you say basketball was invented in Canada, but it was what, Indiana? What's that, the phrase?
Yeah, it was invented in Shakira was elevated in Indiana, basically. You know what I mean?
It was invented in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But it was really started in Indiana. And their love of basketball and the way that Caitlin Clark, you know, just call a spade, the way she looks, her presence, you know, coming from Iowa, Midwest, that culture of basketball wants to see. It's a perfect marriage, it's a perfect match. You know, I know back in the day when the NBA was first getting its footing, you know, they drafted guys. You went to teams based on your regional location, based on the college that you came from. You know, so Oscar Robertson played for University of Cincinnati, right? And then he played for the Cincinnati Royals. Pistol Pete, you talk about him, went to LSU. He went to New Orleans and played for the Jazz, right? So a lot of that, you know, Georgetown, I know that's in D.C., but Pat Ewing going to, he was a larger than life figure. So him going to New York, which is a perfect marriage. I mean, Magic going to L.A. with the way he played the game of basketball. All that matched up with Showtime. And so I think it's a great opportunity.
Are we at that point? That's what I'm saying. You're talking about certain moments where it really changed. Do you think we're at that point where this is going to be a whole nother stepping stone? Like,
I mean, look at the Vegas. The Vegas, the Aces, and the way that they be twerking when they with the trophy in the locker room, that's a Vegas vibe. You know?
Yep. So I'm talking about like the realistic shit of it stands on its own. Like, you feel me?
Yeah. I mean, more stats coming from it. You know, site traffic to the Fever homepage has spiked over 180% overnight. The average list price for Fever home opener spiked 303%. And fans, this is a crazy, crazy number. Fans will travel on average 314 miles to see Fever compared to 237 miles last year. Distance from Iowa City to Indy is 366 miles. So that's a crazy, that's an 80-mile push on average, 80 miles on average to go see a game is insane.
If Indianapolis gets a Four Seasons and like a Nobu or something because of Caitlin Clark, that's when I would probably
do it. No. Something else.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying, like,
their version of a Nobu, their version of a Four Seasons.
Course, but I'm just saying, like, it sounds like shit. When a big-time player comes, construction start happening. Like, bro, I live in Ohio, bro. Cleveland looked like a piece of shit when Brown ain't there. When it's there, bro, the lights be on. You be like, God damn. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So Indy gets a casino.
Oh, you should call it the Caitlin Clark Casino. 3 T.
Yeah. Triple C's.
Triple C's.
Ain't that a rap group? Rick Ross?
Triple C is a wrestler.
No, Triple C's is Rick Ross and them, I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't listen to nobody named Triple C, but whatevs.
Does the rise in ticket prices help or hurt in this case? I don't think so. I mean, we saw what's happening in college basketball. Their ticket prices have risen on big moments. Ohio State versus Iowa was a huge game. Huge moment. Nebraska volleyball team, prices went up. They sold out the game. I mean, when is it ever bad? It's just a market.
Remember how big of like a hurrah Jimmer Fredette was, or like a J.J. Redick? I don't know if J.J. was that big, pause. But
Adam Morrison.
Yeah, Adam Morrison. When you sell that hype, and it's the sure thing, it's like, I mean, shit. If it doesn't go that way, that's the momentum still keep up. And like, you know what occurs coming from like the high market of being like a talented college star, just being like, yo, you're in the big leagues, you're not doing shit.
Well,
does that drop value of everything, you know what I'm saying? And that's
great question,
bro. It's coming from somebody that came in player year number two pick and being like, go from like 250 autographs of people being like, man, I need 25 to sign this shit, and it's like, nah, G, I'm straight.
No, I think it's, you know, this situation is different, being that, you know, it's tailored to the talent. You know, sometimes in the NBA it happens where you got a talent and you just put them in the worst case environment, the worst environment they can possibly be in. You know, the W being in, 27, 28 years of existence, still, you know, getting their footing, getting traction. And it's coming. It looks like it's coming, you know, with the National Women's Soccer Team, the National Women's Soccer League, their TV deal, you know, coming fresh off the World Cup, hyping, you know, the not just the hype, but the overall folks that showed up and showed out to support. And, you know, soccer is the simplest sport. It's the simplest form. Everybody can play it. So maybe it's viewed differently from folks who feel like they can do it. I feel like basketball is making its way, and you got to ride the momentum any opportunity you can. And if Caitlin does struggle, it just shows of how great you have to be to play the game of basketball. Maybe some people will put even more respect on it. So I try to look at it both ways as like a positive.
It's real. No, that's a good point of taking it. Man, let's just hope it all plays out, because right now there's a lot of special things happening. It seems like things are clicking at the right time. And, you know, if they're going to, you know, if the push is, and momentum is going to keep up, I think this is where, you know, where you stick with it.
Point. Forward.
Hennessy and Mitchell & Ness have come together for the Ultimate Drop, a limited edition collection to celebrate Hennessy's continued partnership with the NBA. Because some things just go together, like Evan and myself.
Hey, man. Remember when we met back in the day at Tim Grover's attack facility? Mm-hmm. I think it was like 08. I was finishing up my freshman year, and you were about to prepare to get that bag, right?
Yes, my extension year.
We met in 08. In 2010, we fast-forward to be each other's teammates.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously thought I was better than you. Then the first day of practice, I go baseline, and you Brian blocked my shot before
that
Brian.
That was a good block, G. bro, I remember that.
Bro, that was an amazing block. I'm looking like, bro, what just happened back there? And then I'm like thinking something, like talking to my agent, like, bro, you just said I was better than this?
Look, on the court, you're surrounded by a collection of personalities, egos, and talent. But when the pieces come together, that's when you form a great team. The same thing is true when you mix a great drink. Different ingredients come together for the first time, complementing one another to make something out of this world. And beyond the drinks, this drop with Hennessy and Mitchell & Ness celebrates the intersection of basketball with art, music, and fashion. Elements of culture that represent ways the fans and players pay homage to the game.
The exclusive collection will have a limited drop available for both in retail and online. Check out at Hennessy US on Instagram for more information. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly.
Hey there, it's Matt Norlander with the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast. And yes, we are in the thick of the college hoop season. Our pod runs at least three times a week and covers everything you need to know, from the power conference team to the mid-majors, the scoops, the stories, game predictions, previews, huge recaps, everything. We cover it all. To find us, search Eye on College Basketball podcast wherever you get your pods.
This week's episode of Point Forward, we have another special guest from the comedy slash influencer world. He had a 9-year NFL career, and now he's one of the biggest sports storytellers around. Please welcome multi-talented Spice Adams to the show.
Point Forward.
Today we are joined by Anthony Adams, aka Spice.
Where's my camera? This one right here?
I think that's it. They all your cameras, big dog.
All of them. So as athletes, I think this is coming after I retire, right? So as athletes, and we all retired now.
Retired.
Is that official?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang,
yeah.
What you got, 20 in?
19.
Why you don't want to do 20?
Scared? The 18th and 19th.
You scared to get 20?
Real ones get 20. Real.
Springfield. Yeah. I got my reasons. No, but honestly, I think I found my niche outside of the game.
Okay.
That is going to be bigger than hopefully bigger than the things that I did on the court while I was playing.
I'm excited for you, right? Then, man.
So I'm very excited about that. But we hear it all the time, these conversations of how do athletes make that transition?
Yeah.
And for you to make the transition that you've had in terms of, like, people see you every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I've been through like 45 minute. You get stuck in that phone. And my wife doesn't do social media.
Yeah.
But she knows who you are.
That's crazy.
Like, find this one.
That's
crazy. Oh, what'd you say now, Chuck? Oh, I like when you was like, the DJ ran that back flawlessly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The sample song.
He was like,
man.
Wait, what is this? You know, so just, you know, and you've had some amazing write-ups about it, and you've had success with it. Layering on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to definitely dive into that conversation for folks, you know, who may be new to you. There aren't too many folks that will be, but, you know, just that transition, you know, for me as well, you know, being a retired athlete, what's that like? But, you know, going back to you playing football, you know, do you think there was, when you were playing, what was it about yourself or how you conducted yourself that you, were you always like this and kind of like just growing up? Like, how did it come about? Like all these characters that you have, it's pretty amazing.
So I'm the only child. So I used to always do different things. So people want to come back over to my house because I ain't have no brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? So somebody come over, I'll be like, hey, watch this.
That's a crazy story, dog.
You know what I'm saying? So they're always like, yo, let's go over Spice House, man. I don't know what he gonna do next. Like, I'll make myself fall down the flight of stairs. Like, I was like a fat stuntman, dog. So I've been this same size in height since I was like 12. Everybody's like, oh, you're going to be like 6'4", 6'5". Nah, I stayed at 5'11", dog, forever. So with me doing what I do now, it's like it's a form of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that's all I've been doing, like, you know, since I was little. So football is a form of entertainment. So I have been doing that for 18 years with high school, college, and pro. So after I was done, I just, you know, kind of stepped out on faith. Started leaning on some of my teammates. They was like, dog, you should do it, bro. Like, put these videos out because we see how funny you are in the locker room, but nobody else really get a chance to do it. So I started making these videos, putting it up on YouTube. And then when I did my retirement video at White Castle, that just, it went crazy. Of all places, right? Yeah. White Castle.
Why White Castle?
It was just random. I just so happened to have a suit on. And I had just turned in my retirement papers like the day before. So I was like, we're driving by. I was like, man, I'm hungry. Like, I'm going to stop here at the White Castle.
Ruin my stomach real quick.
And so my wife still had our baby. So she's 12 now. At the time, she was like, I don't know, a couple months old. And so we had just so happened had a camera on it. So I was like, I got an idea. Which every time I say that, my wife is like, oh, my gosh. Because she's like the complete opposite of me. She's just straight introvert. I'm like extrovert. I'm walking in like, hey, what up, everybody? And she's like, oh my gosh. Out for instance, I went to the Kevin Hart concert and dog, I had on a robe, a burgundy robe. I had on like a burgundy pants. I didn't even have a shirt on, dog. And I had on some glasses and like a burgundy hat. And I'm going to the Kevin Hart show.
For real though? You serious?
Dog. And my wife was like, oh, I had on some big block burgundy gaiters.
Wait, did she see this? When did she see the outfit? Did she see you put it on?
In the car.
What car?
The first time? When I walked out, like to get in the car, she like, come on, like, can you take a day off?
What car did you drive up there?
We was in an Escalade.
Oh, word? I thought Escalade. You said like a bro him.
No, I ain't had an old school this time. I'll keep it simple, man. I like the cars I got. And we pull up, man. United Center, dog. I step out the ride, boom, like that. She like, oh my gosh. But I always been like this, bro. Yeah. Always, man. It just so happened that social media came at the time when it did. Yeah. Like I was on Vine, and then mm-hmm. Instagram mm-hmm. had 15-second videos at the time, and then YouTube was taking off. So I just put everything up on social media, man, and just stepped out on faith, just put myself out there. Just like how we do in sports. Like every week, like, or every day for y'all, like you got to go out and perform and you just got to have trust in, you know, your athletic ability and how you've been lifting weights and stuff like that. So that's the same thing I do with the video.
Yeah, but you started off heavy, you know, from Detroit as a football player. You were able to go to Penn State, play for a legendary coach, Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
You're academic All-American, second team All-Big Ten.
Repeat that because there's only two of us in here.
What do you mean?
Academic All-American.
They be
sleeping on that.
Yeah.
I did a little something in the classroom, man. Yeah, so, you know?
But you said, you know, from the get-go, growing up in Detroit, you always kind of knew that you had tunnel vision. You knew you were going to, you know, get out of that environment and become something successful. So talk to us about what leaving growing up in Detroit was like.
Well, my mom did a good job of, like, sheltering me from, like, the other lifestyle that wasn't too far from my house. Like, you know, all the gang activity and gambling and the drugs and all that type of stuff.
You went to King High School, right?
Yeah. Martin Luther King High School. You already know.
Yeah, I already know.
You go down any Martin Luther King Boulevard
you too
in
well.
America.
You went to King.
Hey, but the top schools in Detroit is Cass Tech, Renaissance, and King. Those are the top three schools. And you got to take tests to get into those schools.
Yeah.
So I took a test. I passed. And I never really wanted to play football. I wanted to play basketball because I'm from Detroit. Yeah, so that's bad boys.
Yeah, yeah, you're
right. So it was Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, John Sally, Dennis Rodman, like all that. And so, you know, I was just being bad boys, shoot the J and all that. Of course, it's going in. But I was like always this big like this. Yeah. So my mom was like, nah, you gotta play football. And then like I play Nintendo, I slam the joystick down. Like, oh, Marty cheat.
Yeah.
She's like, you gotta find a way to channel all of this energy. Like, so she dropped me off one day at practice. Dog, I had on an outfit similar to this. I had on some jorts, had on like some white Air Force Ones, probably a tank top or something like that. And I'm coach like, hey, go out there and run and walk and all this stuff. So ever since then, you know, we all got together, everybody doing jumping jacks together. I was like, dog, this is like a brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got no brothers and sisters. Like, I feel like these is my brothers. So my mom came pick me up, gave her a big hug. Mom, thank you, mom. We got to be back 2:30 tomorrow. I want to get here by 2.
Yeah.
You know, so ever since then, man, I loved it, man. So growing up in Detroit, man, my mom did a good job of, you know, keeping me out of, and then, you know, my family, a lot of my uncles and aunts, you know, strung out on crack or in and out of jail. I ain't want to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I ain't want to be the heartache for my mom. So I wanted to be like a bright spot. So I always was like textbook, did everything by the book.
Yeah. So talk about, you know, you left, you went to Penn State, you're able to go play for legendary Joe Paterno. What was the first, you know, first couple of days like that, like, and you're playing for him for your career?
I had to learn a lot, man. Yeah. Like, you know, it was so many rules. Like, you couldn't have any chin hair. Yeah, I couldn't have a hat on like this. You couldn't have no hats in the building. You had to be on time. Like, all type of stuff, man. So if he say we got meetings at 8 o'clock, you got to be there by 7:45. Yeah. Really 7:44. Yeah. If you're there at 7:45, you're late. Yeah. So it's like, what how's the saying go? To be on time is to be late.
If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late you forgot. You're fired.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So he pretty much had that attitude. And, you know, I was like, man, why we got all these rules, man? Like, I'm just getting my little goatee. I gotta cut my chin hair off, man. Yeah, like, dog, it took me years to grow this. So, you know, growing up in Detroit and then having that type of structure and not really having no father figure like that, because my dad went to prison when I was like 4. So I had to look at the coaches as like my role models or father figures or whatever. So that's and then a lot of my coaches and like people I looked up to were all like Q Dogs.
Yeah, Omega Psi.
So when I went to college,
they were
showing me like the weight room and the fields. And I'm like, man, where the Q's at? He's like, oh, you're talking about the purple guys. They're here. I'm like, all right, cool. I can come here on school then.
That's wow.
Cool.
That's what's up.
That was like, that was big for me. Like the fact that Penn State had the Q's up there, I was like, oh, yeah, all right, I can come here now. Sure.
So you had tons of success at Penn State, clearly on the field. Like we say, you're a second round pick. So that was no small.
Not first, like y'all, you 2 overall.
It's only 2 rounds in basketball.
Yeah, still, first round, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no. You know you're going to play, you know you're going to get paid.
Second round, you know you're going to play. Third round, you know you're going to play in football.
Yeah, football. Fourth round.
You're going to play.
Yeah, but it ain't the same type of contract. Round, 57. It ain't the same type of contract.
But like, y'all
I'm 57. I'm 57.
Yeah.
And how many guys on your roster in football?
Like 58.
Right. We only saw only 14, 15 of us. Yeah.
So it's even harder.
No. I'm saying the equivalent. Like, if you get drafted in the second round, it's like getting drafted in the first round.
Yeah, basically.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't.
For sure.
You were number 9. You were number 2 overall. That's pretty good.
I mean, shit, I have pretty good.
Nah. You got what, 10 in?
I got 10 in, and he got double that.
Yeah, he didn't want to do 20.
He didn't want to do 20. But when you first got drafted and everything, you got drafted to Dre's favorite team, the 49ers.
Yeah, I got some issues with you. Man. I got some issues with you.
With me?
Yeah, because it's like you play for the Niners, but you talk more about the Bears, but you play longer for the Niners.
I'm employed by the Bears.
You were.
No, I am.
I am. He still works for the Bears.
I'm
still
on my 10th season.
You're still with
doing
him.
Inside the Bears.
Yes, yes. So,
and I live out here.
This is true.
So
this is true.
I love the 49ers. I mean, they're the reason I was able to be a good Chicago Bear because of everything I learned from Bryant Young and Julian Peterson and Jeremy Newberry and Flanagan and like everybody, bro. Everybody was like, it was like a bunch of old vets there, man. Yeah. And they took care of me, dog. Like, Dog, it's nothing like being like a 23-year-old and then seeing people like married with kids and stuff like that who would like go out on the field and just bull rush you. You're like, dog, these is grown men, yeah. Dog. Like kids, like your kid is 8 years old. Like, yeah, me. Like, and you in Bible study and like I look at BY, dog, and see like all the moves and everything he'll put on people and like just how we would bull rush people and then like lead us in Bible study. I'm like, dog, who is this guy, man? Like this guy, and he Hall of Famer.
That's always what I wanted to know is how you flip that switch in football.
Man.
Like, cause you in the trenches.
You gotta understand that it ain't your fault that I just lost out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta, like, when you're on the field, you're on the grass, you get down in the stands, then it's like, you can physically beat a person's head and don't gotta worry about the police. Like, whatever is wrong with you, you can take it out on somebody mm-hmm. and people would cheer for that. Like, I could, like, take my forearm and put it in your neck and, like, people would be like, yes! And so, like, it's just like a great, like, it's like boxing. Like, yeah. It's like a release, man. You know what I'm saying? So, football is, like, I love it, man. Like, I was able to let loose a lot of aggression out on people, man. It was lovely, dog. I love it. And I love everything everybody hate. Like, training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, going up against a center and a guard. Like, I got double teamed, like, my whole career. And I was like, let's go. If you tell a three technique, the guy who played next to me, if you tell him to play nose guard, he'll be like, hell no, I'm not doing that. Like, it's like a thankless position, dog. It's like people who do the dirty work. Don't nobody want to do the dirty work.
No, me and Kamal Looney, we know something.
I love doing that.
So one off season, you're like the most valuable free agent, right?
No, not me. No. I was like
I mean, for those intangibles, when you went to the Bears, that's what they really wanted, right? Wanting, you know, the position that you brought to the team.
Nope, I ain't even gonna make myself seem like that. Yeah. They were just filling the void that they didn't have, man.
But you
like
played for Lovie Smith during that tenure, right?
Yeah.
And that was some of our highest times in our
when you hit free agency like March 1st at 12 a.m. and your phone ain't ringing. You ain't a first tier guy.
Yeah.
And then, so the first tier goes that first week, phone ringing off the hook. Mine wasn't ringing off the hook. Then the second tier go like that next week. And then you got to wait till like people get hurt or injured or something like that. And then they call you. And I was more like a third or fourth tier type guy. So they signed me like for a 2-year deal just to see like how I would do. And then they're like, all right, this guy, you know, he kind of all right. Like he deserve another contract. And they give me another contract. So end up playing here for 5 years after doing 4 with the 49ers.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
And so, but walk me through that mentality and the mindset you had to have being in the position that you are saying that mm-hmm. the type of player you are. It's like, so how do you, you know, do you plan for the future? You know, what's it like going to practice every day?
Yeah.
You know, what's it like, you know, I'm going to get the short end of the stick. Like, how do you keep the same passion, you know, the same appreciation for yourself and like just keep holding yourself to a high standard, knowing like, you know, I'm not as valued as they think.
Well, I know how to play. You know what I'm saying? And I got a lot of good coaching throughout the years and I hustle. So, and that's what you got to do when you get out there, man. You just got to hustle. You got to make things happen. You got to make plays. You got to be in a position where people can trust you. And so once I got that trust of a Lance Briggs, of a Peanut Tillman, a Tommy Harris, Brian Urlacher, then they like, all right, I know this guy is going to always be where he needs to be. And so it's not going to be any gray area.
Yep.
Like, so, and once you get that trust from people, then you become a system guy. And y'all know what that is.
Yes.
Like you run a triangle offense. We need this guy.
Yes.
If you run this offense. We need this guy. So I was like one of those guys that you can plug in that 4-3 scheme that we was in. And I understood the scheme of the defense and I never, like I'm a textbook guy.
Yeah.
Like you want me to be an A gap, that's where I'm going to be. You want to be a B gap, that's where I'm going to be. And if I'm not going to be there, I'm on my way and I'm going to get there by any means necessary. If I got to make a pile, if I got to dive to get there, whatever I got to do, like I'm laying my body out on the line and I'm going to be in my gap. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, walk me through. You had one of my favorite videos of yours is when you're explaining the different types of guys after the last loss of the season, the teams that don't make the playoffs, right?
Cancun on three.
The guy that was going to debate. He was like, where are you going? I'm going to debate. Where? You going to Cali? Are you going to Cali? No, debate. You mean Dubai? No, first thing, did that really happen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe people don't even know how to say stuff. I'm going to Antigua. Like it's Antigua. So if you're going to the place, you should at least know how to say it. You know what I mean? Like people be, dog, it's funny, man, how you just, and then we got 58 players. Yeah. So it's like you can kind of see how different people is. Like some people been ready to go since week 9. Some people know they're going to get released. Some people know they're going to a different team. Some people looking forward to next year. Some people are worried about what they're going to do for the offseason, how they're going to train, how they're going to eat. And some players just don't care. They're just like, dog, I'm getting paid. So it is what it is. So, and I've been around long enough where I just observe everybody, man. That's how I make all my videos. Right. Like if I'm doing like an old head character, it's probably like one of my uncles or my dad. Like, for instance, we went to go see Superman, and my dad come upstairs, dog. He had on a white suit with, like, sequins on it. And he had on this belt, this black belt that had, like, all type of rhinestones on it. And I'm like, Dad, we going to Spider-Man, dog. Like, this is like a three-hour movie, dog. Like, you going to be in there? I say, Dad, where are you going? He said, to the top. I'm like, all right, bro. Like, I can't even argue with that. You're right, man. I said, man, how many stones you got? How many diamonds you got on your belt? He said, 273. I mean, count it. Each one. But I guess that's where I get it from, yeah, man.
So one of your more successful characters is Creamy Biggs.
Yeah,
right?
Creamy Biggs.
One of the best ballers in the world.
Yeah.
He said he's somewhat created off some of past family members and everything like that. So when did that come about? And are you shocked off some of the success you got? Because that's the one that gets you the most endorsements.
I didn't even want to do it, man. It was stupid. It was just sitting in the back of my phone, dog. It was like a July or June or something like that. It was hot. I was in my garage just doing all these moves, like not even on like a court or nothing like that. Just in the garage, like doing moves. And I was like, this is stupid. It just stayed on my phone. So this was when the Cavs were playing you guys, the Golden State, I think, and during the finals. So I was like, man, I'm going to put this video out. I'm about to go to sleep. We were at a track meet. My son was playing in like Indiana somewhere, Ball State or something like that. And he was had a track meet. So I was like dozing off. I was like, man, I'm going to put this video up, man, and just slap finals on it or whatever. So I put it out, fell asleep, and then I'm waking up, like getting all these notifications. Like all my friends like, yo, Kevin Hart just posted your video. So I'm like, man, that man's a full-fledged movie star. Like he done put my video on his page. Like maybe he commented on my video or something like that. But I'll go to his page and it's on there. So then when he posted it, then House of Highlights post, then Ludacris, Snoop Dogg, Jamie Foxx, like some of everybody. So I was like, dang, like I'm going to have to make an account for him for somebody to steal it and all that type of stuff. So I made an account for Kareem Biggums. He got like over 300,000 followers. I was on, 2K19? I was
NBA Live 2020.
I flew out to Canada because they didn't have like a body type like mine. They thought they could just insert different.
You in Vancouver?
Dog, I was in there like doing jab steps. Like I was in that thing for like 3 hours. I was cramping up. Like, how much more y'all need? So we was doing that. And dog, the rating came out. I was like 89. Like I'm dunking on people and all that stuff. Very realistic. But I didn't even want to do it, bro. I had put it out. And then I was just like, dang, I got something with this character.
And
right
that segue, you know, into you meeting Shaquille O'Neal, which you both are hosting.
I'm a dog,
the big podcast. Going to how you met Shaq and how you've been able to make an organic, relationship with him.
I met Shaq. We were doing a Kellogg's event for like March Madness or Final Four or something like that. And it was like Cheez-Its and Pringles. I was thinking it was Shaq. And then Magic Johnson was coach of my team. Yep. Shaq was coaching the other team, man. When he met me, he was like, dog, you know, I follow you, whatever, da, da, da. I was like, oh, shoot, that's cool, man. And then, you know, he's a Q. I'm a Q. Yeah. He was like, man, we're going to do something together. And so, you know, when people tell you that,
both,
be like,
you cross when you're in college?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
So he was like, yeah, man, we're going to work. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. But then he came with the podcast. And I was like, oh, snap, like, this is real. Like, it's happening. So we did the podcast for, I think, like 2 seasons. So we got to have y'all on there, man. How long y'all teammates? Like 2-3 years?
Like 2 or 3.
It was 2 years.
Felt like forever.
It felt like forever.
Was Iggy a good teammate?
Iggy was a very good teammate. He was a good vet. No. I'm saying like Iggy, when you break it down, like sometimes they'll bother the shit out you and like harass you.
I'm like you. Yeah,
like, no, like he'll harass you nonstop. You come in the locker room, like, yeah. Sorry, your shoes is gone. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Let me see your phone. Regular you go stuff. Through all your pictures. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yep. You fall asleep on a plane. He'll take a picture with your hand in your pants.
That's
like,
all the stuff you miss when you're done.
Oh, no, for sure. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you comprehend it, you know, to keep your humor as you get older.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing that he was just a great leader and, you know, somebody that was accountable. So
that's dope, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was saying, Spice, on a more serious note, clearly your post-playing career kind of has a different representation of, you know, sometimes of what it goes to be an athlete. You know, sometimes with football players, you'll see people in your position and sometimes you'll see people that are suffering from, you know, the issues of playing football for so long. So what do you want your platform to really say or represent as a former NFL player where the conversation is so heavy CTE, not to let our kids play this sport, and so on and so forth? And, you know, what have you done also in order, you know, sometimes when you see those situations to kind of try to speak out?
Yeah, I honestly didn't want my son to play football, but I didn't want him to resent me. You know what I'm saying? So by the time he turned 14, I let it be his decision if he want to play or not. Yeah. I'm like, dog, I don't want your fingers in your hands to be looking how mine look. You know what I'm saying? And my back is hurting right now, my knees, like all this stuff. Like, I don't want you to feel like that. But, you know, I ain't want him to resent me because, you know, I played football and, you know, I got all those lessons and everything that I learned from, you know, being 14 all the way up to now. So I didn't want him to resent me. So he's playing now. But, you know, that the platform that I have is just like a lane that, you know, I'm creating, and it's a road less traveled, you know, because usually guys may want to go into coaching or they may want to be an analyst or a commentator or something like that. And, you know, I just want to entertain. I want people around me to have a good time. And, you know, I always been like that. But, you know, I think as long as you find something that you're passionate about, like, I'm passionate about entertaining people.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what I like to do. I like to have a good time. And I found my niche. You know what I'm saying? If you could find whatever it is that's your niche that you're passionate about, then that's a win. Like, you're going to be successful. Like, I found something that I'm just as passionate about football. You know what I'm saying? So I'm having a good time doing it. And I like the future. I kind of like look at it as it's just spontaneous. Like, I don't know what God has in store for me, but I'm excited for it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, it's a lot of times things happen to me and I just sit back like, God is handling like all of this. Because there's no way, like, for instance, last week I did a fashion show for Toby Wigway in Milan.
Oh, wow.
But at the time I was in Manchester. I was in Manchester because the Bears had a watch party out there. So I flew out to Manchester and Toby was like, hey, man, I want you to be in this fashion show. And it's in Milan. And I'm like, dog, I'm in Manchester. He's like, perfect. I'm like, what do you mean perfect? So I flew from Manchester to Milan. Fresh from, like, when we landed, I went straight to rehearsal. And so he had like Q Dogs in his fashion show for Montclair because Pharrell has a line. But Pharrell makes clothes for dogs too. So Toby was the creative director of the whole fashion show.
Oh, wow.
And so with him knowing that, he's like, what better people to have than Q Dogs?
Right.
Oh, that's so crazy. I was part of the step show in there. course, I came in at the tail end because he had some young bros there that was, and I'm like, dog, I can't, that's like high impact. Like, yeah. He's just saying, let me come in on the tail end of the joint, you know what I mean? So
shout out to Anthony Vereen. He's a coach for the Warriors.
Okay, doing yeah,
his
thing.
He'll do his joint every now and again. He hear that music, he can't help himself. He go.
Dog, that's, they used to set me up like that a lot of times in locker room, dog. Like, y'all be fresh out of 2-a-day practice, something like that. Man, come on, dog. Come on, man. Yeah, so I love the locker room, man. But I'm having a good time, dog. Yeah. I'm just out here being me, man. So
beautiful, beautiful. So what can we look for next? I know I saw you in Old Spice. It feels like you created it though. It feels like you, and I'm like, you got your touch on it. And so what can we look forward to seeing from you? And then what are your like biggest goals, you know, next, you know, 5 years?
You know what, man? I just like to like piggyback off of what people are doing. You know, I look at a Kevin Hart, or I look at a Michael Strahan or a Shaq or somebody like that. And these people that I can call and I can text and say, hey, man, what you think about this? What you think about me making this move and stuff like that? And so I got 4 kids. So, you know, you got to make it happen. Like when I retired, I was like, dog, what am I going to do? Like all the money you get, like you got to make it stretch. Like, you know what I'm saying? You get this lump sum of money and you got to make it stretch. And when you got like all your money going out and nothing coming in, you like, dog, like you can only do appearances like really during the season. Right. So like in the off season, it's like, man, like what am I going to do, right? So, you know, I found social media and everything, and I've just been grinding ever since. So what's going to happen in the future, I really don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to be acting. I don't know if, you know, if it's going to be me being a rapper. Or like, no, I don't know, man, but I'm ready for it all, man. Everybody come holler at me, man. Like, it's hard out here, man, doing this independently, man. I ain't part of no agency or nothing, man. It's just me. So come find me, man. We up here on the rooftop, man. This is nice, man. We in Chicago. Hey, man. Hey, mama. We got POP, baby. Hold it down.
No, but no, you don't have an agent for real?
Say that again.
You don't have an agent for real?
No, I got an agent. I'm not part of an agency.
Right? Oh, you got an okay.
We done had meetings everywhere.
No, I know. I'm just making sure. Everywhere. Yeah, because I got
you. You got some people you met with.
Nah, I got
I did Ballers. I did second season of Ballers. I did Detroiters, Comedy Central. And so I'll be out here working, bro.
And then you was hosting
Dog, I hosted Essence Fest, dog.
That's crazy. Yeah, that
was cool. I hosted Essence Fest with Atheon Crockett. Yeah, that was the cool thing about Atheon, we had never met. We had did the Verses.
The Verses.
We did the After Verses for like 2 years and never even met.
Oh, y'all didn't meet after y'all were doing that?
The first time we met, he picked me up from J.W. Marriott in Los Angeles, I'll never forget, and took me over to Dr. Dre house.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, fam. He's like, dog, we're going to go see Dre. So I'm like, who's Dre your home? We're like, who's Dre? And so we just driving. Next thing you know, we started like going up and my ears start popping. And I'm like, dog, where are we going, dog? We went past like 3 sets of security guards. And then we like go across this pine, like a bridge on a pine. I'm like, dog, we had an outdoor mall? Dog, this was Dre's house, dog. And then you like get out the car. Walk down this spiral staircase. It's another dude, like big old dude there, like, oh, okay, Atheon, all right, you got your boy with you. We walk in, it's like something that looked like this, dog, and with TVs and all type of candy and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And then you open the door, it's like a hallway, then it's another door you open. So I open that door, and Dre's like, this guy. I'm like, what do you mean, this guy? Like, Dr. Dre?
Yeah.
This is crazy. So we in the studio, he rapping. He's like, dog, what you think I should say on this verse? I'm like, what? Say whatever you want. What are you talking about, dog? It's Dre. I guess it's crazy, dog. So shout out to Atheon, man. That's my dog.
No, this is my last question for real. How are y'all finding these outfits so damn fast on the After Verses?
Man, you should see my closet.
Yeah.
It's Roy G. Biv in that thing, man. Red, orange, what is Roy? Yellow?
Yellow.
Dog. Roy G.
Blue indigo by
that thing, dog. Gators, everything. Man, I got a whole room. It's just organized confusion. So you walk in a room, I know where everything is, man. I know where, like, the pimp suits is. I know where all my robes is. I know where, like, all my I had a wrestling character named Stretch Mark Simmons. I got all type of stuff. WWE come here, dog. Oh, man. You can't tell me I ain't a wrestler, dog. I be wrestling. I'm off the top turnbuckle.
Like Mark Henry?
Man, for real, dog. You got to take it. Dog, I seen them backstage, man. It smelled like a lot of Bengay and peppermint and stuff like that. And them must be walking around there like, and some of them, you don't even know who they is. So, like, you know they've been on the grind for years. They be walking with the hunchback. Ah, man, I ain't waiting for this medicine to kick in, man. I'm going out there, man. Round three, man. We're going to do this here, right? And then, boom, DDT. All right. They going over, like, how they going to wrestle. I'm dog. It is serious, bro. Like, that WWE. And I don't think they got a union. So they just out there, just off of 30 feet in the air, just landing on their back. Like, yeah, that's dog, it ain't no joke. Somebody need to do a documentary. I'm going to need a 30 for 30 on that. I may be talking too much.
No, I feel like they already tried.
So everybody trying to steal our idea, dog. This is our idea.
Everybody's striking right now, so the union thing is a sensitive subject. Auto.
Y'all got money, so you.
No, but the auto industry is striking. SAG, I mean, the actors and the writers, they striking. There's a lot of striking going on. They're trying to figure out what's the right, wrong way to strike. Yeah, we're going to figure out the right way.
So before we dip, man, you think our Bears going to be straight? Justin Fields going to be smooth? You said last year you started a franchise with him. No? All right. Then that's it, then.
Remember the greatest cry ever? I still love you. Oh, Bears, man. Oh. That's my answer right there.
I feel that. Wow.
God, man.
Well, Spice Adams.
How you going to end on that?
Because I really wanted to know.
Wanted
to know, bro.
I don't know,
We're going to cut this. We're going to cut this. But
I don't know,
Spice, once again, thanks for pulling up. Thanks for giving us your time.
Yes, sir.
Your energy. And then, you know, once again, all the great stuff you got coming forward.
Dude, shout out to Thanos, man. That man got every stone.
Man, it's Thanos, nothing. It's all fake, baby. It's all fake. It's fake, man. It's fake. It's an heirloom, bro.
No,
I told you. My granddad gave it.
Turn the music on. Everybody quiet, man. It's a party. It's a celebration.
Without a ball, it's just a court. And without your spirit, it's only a game. So, together with the fans, we bring our best. For your next pregame, let's share a twist on a classic, the Hennessy Margarita. A squeeze of fresh lime juice and a bit of agave syrup, topped off with ice and a salted rim. Mix it, shake it, pour it, and enjoy the spirit of the NBA. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly.